You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
What in God's name are we doing? We're like children. We're not men.
No, we're not. We're not men.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep!
Holy crap, I don't know who the hell we think we are when we do something like that.
It's 8 o'clock on a Monday night on the horn. That must mean this is Insincere. I'm your host, Patrick Davis. With me, as always, the one and only Anthony White. Big show for today, talking about the new college football playoff proposal, about how baseball is the dirtiest sport in the history of all dirty sports. Not just sports, the history of dirty sports is the dirtiest sport. We got, of course, a bunch of NBA news and some Insincere news coming at the end of the show. But first things first, big weekend. Another happy Father's Day to you. I know you had a good time out. Yeah. It was us, your son's birthday as well. So birthday, Father's Day. You got to go see a great game.
Went on Friday to the Astros game. Won in the bottom of the ninth with the walk-off. Jordan Alvarez's first walk-off ever. It was a beautiful, perfect way to end the game.
It was funny. I was texting you while I was happy because I'm watching the game and I'm texting you. And then it's like, we both know, it's like, man, if this goes to extra innings,
it's going to be a problem.
It's just, but you're like, the ninth, if it can end right here and everyone's happy.
Yeah.
If it goes one more, then the whole thing, you got to sit there the whole time, which watch just butt cheeks clenched.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. No hits. Come on. No hits. Any good Father's Day gifts you got this year?
I didn't get any socks.
No socks.
That's always great. I got a great card from Miles. It was a fart joke card. Always a classic. And a great picture from the Astros game that we went to. His mom framed for us. It was really nice. And then I got my dad, because I am, you know, the greatest son of all time. With my own money, I spent on Spurs propaganda, got him a Duncan's Hall of Fame hat, which he absolutely loved. So, you know.
There you go. You know, support good people like the San Antonio Spurs.
You know, my dad. I support my dad. That's what it's about. How about you? How was your weekend?
It was good. Got to see the family. Got to see some old friends I hadn't seen in a long time. We kind of did. There's a group of us that have been around, been friends for 20 years. And we used to always go swim at this pool of friends of ours that are a little bit older. Her husband passed away a few years ago, and we went over there. And she was like, I kind of miss the old days. So we just had an old school day.
Nice.
Getting drunk in a pool with them. That was good times, though. Yeah. That was good times. Austin FC started off with a bang, everybody.
Yeah.
Man, soccer's here. Goals aren't, but soccer is.
Oh, Patrick's favorite style of ending the game. A 0-0 draw.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance we go, you know, zero goals in Austin forever. And that's okay, apparently, in soccer.
Hey, but you got Matthew McConaughey with bongos. You can't go wrong with that.
No,
right?
And actually, I will give this. Jackie Vinson was out there
playing. Jackie Vinson killed it.
Tomar and the FCs are out there. So a lot of cool things happening. So a shout-out to Austin FCs for actually doing a cool thing and supporting Austin within doing Austin. I think that's a very cool thing. Milwaukee Bucks survived another round.
They got another week before I can gloat. That's okay. You know, just holding on to the inevitable.
Holding on to the inevitable that your prediction is right, that Giannis will never win a championship?
He will never. And we'll get to it later. If you watch those games, I'm right.
It's going to be hilarious when like six more players get hurt and Giannis is the only one standing. And you're like, well, okay, it doesn't count if we're playing scrubs versus Giannis.
Yeah.
But let's get into Anthony. It's time for questions of the week. Let's kick it off. Big college football playoff news coming out about a new proposal. What questions you got for me, Anthony?
All right. So with the college football selection due to vote on the proposed 12-team playoff, I just kind of want to get gauge where you feel about these new proposed items. So I'm breaking it down, ask like each new item and see if you're a fan of it or if you think they missed on it and what you would change in this thing. So the first thing is they're going from a 4-team playoff to a 12-team playoff. Do you think that did they hit it or were they off?
I like that they're going to a 12-team playoff. I think it's a really good thing to get everyone involved. There is one major issue I'm going to see with the 12-team playoff, but I think that needs to be addressed in another way. I don't know any playoff scenario that's going to really help this.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's 12 teams is going to make sure that pretty much every major conference will not schedule a good non-conference game.
Right.
For the rest. Because why would you?
Yeah.
At this point, if you're like, I can get 12. So as long as I win all my games, I'm in. And I can go play for the title. I do not need to be in the top 3, top 4 teams. So I don't need to necessarily get that big win early in the season.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be an issue, but that needs to be addressed in another place with NCAA scheduling. Other than that, I like a lot of the things that are in it, not all of them, but I know you're going to go through them and give us kind of a piece-by-piece look at this.
Yeah, so then the next one is the six highest-ranked conference champions will make the playoffs. What do you think about that?
I'm all right with it. I'm not a huge fan, just, and this is mainly because Texas is in the Big 12, and I think the Big 12 is management is pathetic.
Yeah.
And so I don't like supporting conferences.
Yeah.
Just in general, yeah. I think it's about teams more than conferences. And I like you want to have the rivalries and the built in scheduling, but to have this thing where teams will gloat because they're the sixth best. And you're supposed to be the third best or the second best, and you're the sixth best, and you're like, of course, we've made the last 6 years. And you're like, as the sixth best, doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So I like it, but it's not, you know, I think that's one of those things that's just kind of appeasing conference, you know, presidents and stuff like that. It doesn't seem like it's going to be that important.
Yeah.
It's not top three. If it's top three, then it's like, okay, well, now it's real competition. But six, I mean, you're getting down there now.
Yeah. And then the next six would be the remaining highest ranked teams. So basically, you know, you could have, you know, four SEC teams and two Big Ten teams, you know, filling out the rest of the 12 playoff team. So what do you think about that?
I'm a fan of getting highest ranked teams just in general. I don't ever want it to be a thing where they're like every conference gets in.
Right.
Because then it's okay. Well, we got one get, you know, cause then you get a bye and then the other team kind of gets a bye. I don't know. Is this something, where do you fly on this one?
Well, so far I'm a fan of, so like the 12 teams, I'm glad that they went to 12 teams. They didn't go do the slow process of doing six and eight. I like that they went straight to that. I like the conference, the six highest conference championships. I think the one thing that really kind of bothers me is the next thing that I was going to talk about is like the four highest ranked conference champions would get a first round bye, which basically excludes teams like Notre Dame. So Notre Dame could go undefeated.
Yeah.
And no matter what they do, they won't get one of those buys. And that just seems...
That one to me is the biggest pandering to conferences. And I mean, it sucks. At Notre Dame, you don't really feel that sorry for them. You don't really feel that sorry for Notre Dame. But there are other schools that are in there that you go, if Navy has a miraculous season 1 year or something.
Sure.
And they're an independent and it hurts them. I like the concept of just getting rid of a lot of it and just going, the best 12 teams get in, the best 12 teams, the best four get a bye. And it's still going to be the SEC. The big thing is you're taking it away from the SEC having three byes.
Yeah.
Which I think that's good.
Yeah,
for sure. I think that's really what you're trying to look at is them going, is this something where it's going to, because we've seen it where they go, it's Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and Clemson.
Right.
And we say those three teams are in there. So, all right, those three are the bye. Those are the four byes. And every other conference goes, well, they all beat each other, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. And so I think the only other thing would be the first round would be played at the higher-ranked team stadium. So you get another home game if you're one of those top four teams.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
That makes sense. I get they want to do all the neutral sites because you can kind of make money, but it's silly to try and make people travel that much. I think, it's going to add an element to be able to like kind of have a home playoff game for some of these teams is going to be huge. Like the concept of home playoff games in college football is such a cool concept to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of it being neutral sites, which neutral sites always favors the bigger school.
Right.
So if you were to say, okay, Boise State's playing Texas, if it's at Texas, then it's huge Texas. If it's at Boise State, it's Boise State.
Yeah.
If it's anywhere else in the country, it's Texas.
It's Texas, yeah.
And so you have to look at it and go, Boise State has no advantage. I mean, it could be down the road from Boise State, but if it's 50-50 ticket split, we're getting 50-50 and probably buying some of theirs out as well.
Yeah.
So you just know that it'll help the smaller schools that do well in those underdog stories. If you get a home game as an underdog story, it just makes it that much cooler. And, maybe you get to see like a smaller stadium that doesn't get showcased as much. And it's like, you put all the lights up and do all that. I think that could be a really cool thing that kind of, it seems like it's more college football than pro football, which I really like.
Yeah. So what do you think percentage-wise that this gets passed?
20.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go this. We still got three or four more years before something happens like this.
Well, they're under contract for, I think, three or four more years anyway. So you don't think they would pass it now and then?
No, because I think right now the teams that are making the most money still don't really want this because they don't want to share with the smaller schools. And that's what 12 teams does.
Well, so what of these changes do you think would be adjusted to make it pass? Like, what do you think are going to be the hiccups? Is it the conference thing, or is it?
I mean, the conference thing is going to have to go conference heavy, because then you're going to see a lot of conferences basically telling all their teams to vote one way.
Yeah,
I think it's going to end up having to be something where the four buys,
yeah,
is going to change. Okay. That the big schools are going to say, we want to get a buy no matter what if we get in here. I think that one's going to have to change. And I think they're going to ask for maybe two buys, or maybe eight teams get by, and then it's 12 teams, but you say four teams play, and you kind of basically make the lower teams have to win a couple more games to get to where they're going to have to go and play these better teams. I don't think these teams like Alabama or Clemson or anybody else are going to ever want to play three games,
yeah,
and say, well, we could get a guy hurt playing against a nobody, because they're just coming out, and to them a nobody is anyone who's 10 or below. And so I think that, and you have to remember that, I know when I say Alabama and Clemson, that's Alabama and Clemson. Teams like Texas and Florida and Ohio State's one of the really good ones, but Michigan, teams like that aren't necessarily in the hunt right now, still will act as if we are the number one team in the country, and we need all the protections that if we're the number one team, even though you would get more help on the back end of it, that is the way they're going to vote, just because they are going to vote as if they're the number one team in the country. So I think you're at those powerhouse schools that have so much clout and everything, that's where it's going to get a little bit harder.
Well, my last question, and you kind of brought it up, was because they're going to be playing at least three, maybe four more games, I'm not sure, but how much do you see players like opting out because of risk of getting injured in these big games? Because that's a lot more games that they're putting on their body before they go to the NFL. You know, you see these players opting out of bowl games all the time. Do you foresee this being a problem in the future?
Yeah, I mean, now we also saw that that the Supreme Court just passed a ruling, which would mean if you're now able to get endorsement deals and you get to play in those games, and you're paid by Nike or Reebok or whoever, Under Armour or whoever, in those games, yeah, I bet you're going to put those three games on you to get a paycheck before you go to the NFL.
For sure, yeah.
So, you know, when you get a paycheck and they go, well, for every game you're in here, we're going to pay you $100,000.
Ooh, yeah.
Then, yeah, you're playing.
I'm playing that game.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think that there's incentives in that way, which is when the NCAA goes, we got to keep our amateur status. You go, well, if you let them get deals like that, then they're gonna play in bowl games. They're gonna play everywhere else because they want to see those logos.
Yeah.
So I think that's one way that you'll be able to keep people in. But again, I don't see any changes happening anytime soon, just because people are old and stubborn, and everyone thinks they're the best. Yeah. Everyone thinks that they're one season away.
Yeah.
One season away. I mean, if you realize when you see who hires these coaches and these dorks walk out.
Well, we think this is going to be the guy who takes us to the top.
And you're like, man, that guy doesn't. So they always go, we're one away, because we're spit. If you just do the accounting.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, those teams all think they should win, because if you look at the books, we're raking in this amount of money. We're spending this amount of money. We're clearly the best. And they go 6-6.
Yeah. But I mean, isn't that the whole point of, you know, college football is making money, so why wouldn't they be a fan of, you know, four more games with
I think there's players in it, or teams in it that are. I think the having a home game would be a really big incentive for a lot of teams to make some extra money. But, you know, we'll see what they come up with.
Okay.
We'll see more when people start complaining and all these other things, and the backhanded and the rumor mongering and all that comes out. But that covers it for college football. If we get into now something that's somehow dirtier than college football.
We got a little sticky situation here. All right. So the MLB implemented today, the 10-day ban to players who were caught with any foreign substance. However, this is a paid 10-day ban, first of all. the obviously cheating has been around for the majors, and it's been an unwritten rule, a gentleman's agreement, and now even managers who usually would never ask umpires to check for substances are now kind of pushing that gentleman's agreement aside and immediately asking umps to do this.
Yeah.
So I think it was either last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, a pitcher, Tyler Glasnow, came out. He got injured. And he basically blamed it on this new the MLB implementing this new rule and saying, you know, I use suntan lotion and Rizin or whatever, but he's never used that the tacky, sticky tack or whatever the thing
so
is.
So the spider tack is the one. The spider tack is the one they're saying that makes your rotations per minute go way up. The other things, basically always been a deal that players have been okay with it. Because the batters have been okay with it because it gets them hit less.
Yeah.
It gives them more control. They can hit them less. And so it sucks because it was something that was okay for a lot of years unless you overdid it. And if you overdid it, they kind of would pick you off.
Right. But
it got it's like steroids. When it was just Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire, then it was kind of easy to be like, yeah, the Bash Brothers are on steroids, but not, the whole league isn't. And then the whole league went on steroids. And it got out of hand. They didn't know how to stop it. I think what's happening now is MLB, before it gets 5 years down the line and everyone in MLB is using the spider tack, and everything has changed and all these records are being broken in pitching, and they basically have to go, well, none of you get in the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah, and I mean, I get that, but my biggest question for you is the timing of it. Do you think that they should have implemented this in the middle of the season? Because it seems like they're trying to save face and, you know, kind of ignoring the risk of these players.
Which is what they always do with cheating. They're the worst. With cheating, they've always done, if you get caught, then we have to do this whole thing. And I mean, and we'll see. I mean, how much they're going to enforce this. We saw what happened. The Astros got caught.
Yeah.
And there was enough evidence out there that in the public that they couldn't completely sweep it under the rug. They went after the Yankees. They went after the Red Sox. They went after a couple other teams. And they had evidence, but then it wasn't out in the public as much. So they basically just went, no.
But did they ever do that during the season?
No, but what I'm saying is they just didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
As far as during the season, I thought the Glasnow thing was hilarious.
You don't think it's a problem?
No, I think it's a problem. Okay. I think it's hilarious to watch a guy go on TV and go, yes, I have cheated since I was in middle school. I have cheated at baseball since I was in middle school. Why are you guys stopping me now? Because that's what he said.
Well, but that's
exactly what he said.
Yeah.
Now, I get that it's an unwritten rule because baseball has millions of them.
And that's what they said about.
But if I were to say in basketball, you were like, oh, yeah, by the way, our rims that we played in high school, like since high school, I've always played with a little bit wider rim on my side of the court. Yeah. And he'd be like, what, you just always did that? And you're like, yeah, I just always had him change it to be a little bit wider so I made more shots. And they go, well, that's cheating. And you're like, yeah, but you're taking it away now. So I'm not as good at basketball. I get what his point was. It was only funny because he said so matter-of-factly, like he just glossed over the fact that we're just okay with everybody cheating when we freaked out. And I mean, I'm hypersensitive to this as an Astros fan, as someone who for the last 2 years has told everybody, everyone in baseball cheats.
Right.
That's what it is. It's about the extent of it and everything else. But don't pretend like your guy is perfect. And so to have another guy come out and go, oh, yeah, we're cheating. You go, see, everyone cheats. Now, that being said, the rotations per minute doesn't really change because basically they've done studies of people throwing a ball barehanded and then with rosin and sunscreen. So normally it would be rosin and sunscreen. You put rosin in your hand, you rub it with sunscreen, it becomes a little bit more of a sticky substance.
Right.
Or you get a pine tar or something like that. Pine tar is a little bit harder because it's easier to see, but people still put it in their glove or whatever else. But as pine tar, but sunscreen rosin was a very common one. But stuff like that has been really common. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with most of the cheating as long as it's across the board and we can get over this. Let's stop pretending so we don't hurt 10-year-olds because we're not telling. Do you know how much cheating there is in the Little League World Series, Anthony?
No.
Because parents are cheaters. Parents teach their kids how to cheat. The kids then cheat.
Yeah.
And then the parents go, well, we can't cheat because we'll tell the kids they're going to cheat. You're like, you told them they could cheat.
But do you think it's just been they had to accept, just like in baseball, like in Major League, like everybody else is cheating. So we're not going to be able to compete unless we're then cheating as well.
Kind of, but not really. Because I think that one is what they were doing in MLB, like with what the pitchers are doing, is a cheating thing where they go, yes, it has always been. But this doesn't fall on the players as much. This falls 100% on MLB not going, okay, this is not illegal. Because if MLB 10, 15 years ago, would have said and just passed somewhere else to go, look, if for normal foreign substances in baseball, which rosin and sunscreen are both normal substances, ends up on the ball, that is not a penalty. That's fine. That's legal. Then we wouldn't have this problem now because sunscreen and rosin were both on a football or both on a baseball field.
Yeah.
But if you say then you have we find spider tack, that is not to be used in baseball. It shouldn't be in the ballpark.
Yeah.
So pine tar, you can say, oh, I grabbed the bat and I got pine tar on my hand. You can say, oh, I was wearing sunscreen and rosin. It's in a ballpark, right? Yeah. But if you say I have this other thing that's a mystery substance, then suspend it for 10 games, suspend it for a season. I don't care. If you're cheating that much.
Yeah.
And it's like if you see guys like Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer and guys like that who have just like were doing really great and then had a big slump and then they're doing okay again because they're not bad pitchers.
Right, right.
But they basically got too reliant on this thing where they go, oh, yeah, I can just strike everybody out.
Yeah.
And so you just need to get to the point where we can get to, okay, guys, we get it, but let's not play this game that rosin and sunscreen is the same as spider tech. And MLB, stop pretending that we're all like – it's pro wrestling. They go, people go, they're treating us like idiots. MLB is treating us like idiots.
Yeah.
They are treating us like idiots to think that we can't handle them going, yeah, these players need a little bit of, you know, something on their ball. Because the balls hold a baseball, throw a baseball a couple times. Now get a real good grip on it and try and spin the ball.
Yeah.
Not flat it. See if you can spin the ball. And people go, oh, that's a lot harder than you think it is.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, do that 100 times as hard as you can.
Yeah.
You go, oh, yeah, no, I could definitely use a little bit of help. Not a ton, a little bit.
Well, but, so as far as the 10-day ban, do you think that is that enough? Is that fair? And especially like a 10-day paid ban, do you feel like they're...
It's because it's 2 games. It's 2 games what it is.
I know, but that do you feel like... You don't think that it should be a more lengthy
No, because ban? But I think that's the problem, is if we're going to say, is it for sunscreen and rosin, 10 games is plenty.
Oh, so you're,
if we're
are
saying,
you saying
it's spider tech, it should be like a steroid. It should be a 40-game, what's it, 60 games, 80 games a year, something like that. Yeah, it should be in the same. It should be in line with performance enhancing drugs.
Okay, I can get behind that. Yeah.
But that's the difference. Is I don't want it to be sick, sticky substances on the ball. We can get over treating it with kid gloves and say no. If we find a substance that is not should not be in a ballpark on a ball, we know you brought it in. You are going to get in trouble. But if it's from a ballpark, the most we can give you is 10 days because it's a ballpark substance
for sure.
So
I can get behind that. Yeah,
and so I think that's an easier way to say it.
Yeah.
Where you're not saying specifically what you're doing, but you're still saying these things are they're there.
Yeah. I don't know why they're just not coming out and owning this.
We all know. Like the fact that I know what the thing is.
Yeah.
And you know, they're like, oh, we know that there's YouTube videos about this.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist that says there's YouTube videos that must be true. But there's YouTube videos of MLB players saying, here's me throwing the baseball. So it's, people know what it is.
Yeah.
Is this where you're at? Is 10 days is...
Well, the way you just laid it out, I like that. I like that if it's... Because when I first read this, 10 days is just doesn't seem enough. But when it comes to... When you break it down to things that are already in the ballpark, yeah, that's 10 days. But that the spider tack, all that type of stuff, I think it should be treated just like steroids as well. Like, it needs to be completely out of the game.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, too, if you have a pitcher who's pitching really well right now, you within a couple weeks... You're going to see managers start calling for checking the ball simply to throw a guy off his rhythm.
Yeah.
So you pitch 2 no-hit innings, they're going to check your ball at least twice in the next 2 innings just to beat you off. So it has nothing to do with the game. It is simply somebody doing something shady and nefarious because baseball is the dirtiest sport in the history of dirty sports.
God bless America.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll let you know what is the best gift to give somebody who has cheated on you with 3 different people. We've got your answer.
Just 3?
Just 3. We've got your answer coming up a little bit later. But right after the break, we'll be talking about the NBA playoffs on In Series here on the Horn 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Back on In Series here on the Horn. The NBA playoffs were going on this week. And,
they finally started.
I just wasn't a huge fan. Not a huge fan. So, I like the Game 7s. I like the Game 7s. But I'm not a fan of who's in the like. I just kept the teams that I'm not rooting for keep winning.
I know.
Now I will say Brooklyn lost, which sweat off my brow that James Harden keeping that beard on because he sucks in the playoffs. I'm not thrilled with the Hawks. I'm not thrilled with the Clippers getting through. And the Suns, I'm fine with. I'm fine with the Suns. So we all know Chris Paul is going to choke before he gets over.
Oh, my goodness. So if the Suns don't make the finals, are you just done? Are you not watching any?
If it's Clippers-Hawks?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Come on. Yeah, that's,
good
that is tough.
Lord.
That is tough.
Oh. I'll ask you this question, a trivia question. Of the four teams left in the playoffs, which one is the last team to win an NBA championship?
Milwaukee Bucks.
Milwaukee Bucks.
50 years ago. Come on now.
No other city in there has won it.
No.
Well, I mean, the Lakers have, but the Clippers have never won it. St. Louis Hawks won it, not the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, two teams haven't even been to the finals.
Yeah,
but the Clippers
won it. So a definite crazy amount that the NBA has got to be like, what is happening right now?
I mean, it's a perfect asterisk finals or playoffs.
It's not an asterisk playoffs.
Come on, you look at all the stars that were injured in throughout this entire playoffs. Like
No, I get that. I get that, but I'm just not a fan of asterisk playoffs. I'm just not a fan of it. Look, it was a regular playoffs. It's just going to be this team's never going to, they're not going to repeat. I don't think we're going to dynasty out of this one.
Well, what if the Clippers win it?
Do you think that's a dynasty? By the way, if the Clippers win it and Kawhi doesn't come back, what do you do if you're the Clippers?
Yeah, well, that's different.
Because now Paul George is playoff Paul and Kawhi Leonard is the biggest faker on the planet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was a fan of the Game 7s.
The Game 7s were good.
Yeah. I mean, it finally made me feel like playoff basketball. I mean, there were some letdowns, you know, with the Milwaukee Bucks-Nets game. It showed that Durant is still the best player in the league.
He's a beast.
And he literally single-handedly almost won that game. Like, it was a game of little inches. His foot, story of my life. But game of inches where... if he was just back maybe half an inch,
yeah,
the game would have been over. And you could tell at the end of that game, he was just spent. There was no – he was trying to end that game. He didn't have the energy to do it overtime. Nobody there did. There was no backup. He played pretty much the whole game. But, I mean, Milwaukee survived. And if you watch that game, you just – you should have no confidence in that team.
But, yeah, survived is the right word.
Yeah. I mean, because if Harden was 20% better or healthier than what he was, that game wouldn't have been close.
All right, let me ask you this then. We talked about this a little bit off air, but so when you're watching now, yeah. And I know you're against Giannis ever winning a title because it's his style of play.
No, okay.
Not against him like fit, like you just don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
But when you've been watching this, mm-hmm. how much of this now is Giannis and how much of this is coaching?
It's coaching. It's a lot of coaching. And because the way that they have him playing, they have him taking the ball at the top of the key. And he needs to be in the paint, just pounding. He's a massive dude.
Yeah,
There's no reason for him to be shooting threes.
Yeah, and it's the concept of, well, if we get the ball out there, he can drive past this guy. But you're like, well, the guy's giving you 8 feet. You're going to have to change his game plan.
Yeah.
And Coach Bud didn't want to do it for a long time. He did a little bit at the end, but not a lot. And he just kept letting Giannis get in these little no-man land positions where he just – which, by the way, you have to be able to hit those shots. When they're giving you 8-footers
– yeah.
You got to be able to put down 8-footers.
Yeah. I still believe that if they get to the finals, they might not fire Mike. And I think that'll be detrimental for their future. They need a coach that can coach Giannis. And again, it's not just the coaching, it's the role players. He still doesn't have his Robin. And you know, Middleton came through, you know, he's hot one game, then he's not. Jrue Holiday is, you know, hit or miss. They don't have that number two player that can really take over the game if Giannis isn't doing it.
All right, 76ers Hawks, that game goes away. We get to the 76ers. I mean, the 76ers could have won this in five if they could hold a lead, right?
100%. And it's, again, you always talked about Doc Rivers, and I'm finally kind of on board because watching this game seven, he never made any adjustments.
Yeah.
He made some terrible coaching decisions, taking out Curry and then having the guy come in and make a foul. Keeping Ben Simmons in was one of the worst decisions ever because you watched him. He didn't shoot a single shot in the fourth quarter in three of the last games. It was one of those type of players.
I mean, when they're hacking your star player. Your star point guard?
Point guard.
And he can't hit free throws? Yeah. You're like, man, you can't have that in the NBA.
No. And so I honestly believe that Ben Simmons played his last game in Philly.
I can see that. I mean, but if you're Philly, man, his value has never been lower.
Never been lower. Do you realize that they almost had a trade to trade him for Harden? and it was only the Nets came at the last second with a few more picks.
Yeah.
Do you understand that almost happened?
And man, now, they could have had, man, it would have been great because then we could have had them choke on separate teams. They could have choked on different teams.
Yeah. But come on, you got to give credit to the Hawks. Like,
I don't at all.
Here's the thing. I liked their play because they're just so just naive. They just have this ridiculous sense of we can't lose. We're not going to lose. And we're just going to go out fighting. They have this just nonstop pressure. And when you think, like, there was a moment where Philly got this huge dunk and they went up. And everybody celebrating. Trey was like, cool. They went right back down and did the same thing. And then it was basically over. Like, Trey just... he steps on your neck and just keeps pressuring on you. And so, listen, I know you're not a fan. I'm actually starting to become a fan. But here's who you are a fan of and who you should give credit to is Nate McMillan.
Huge fan.
Give him some credit. Get that interim off of his head coach title.
Yeah, I think that's a given at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, so why are we still calling him interim?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny because I liked Nate when he was in Indianapolis. And I never quite got – I know they kept sticking with players – and they kind of, like, it felt like Indianapolis didn't want him to play his style of basketball.
Yeah.
Which was much more faster paced, and it's a lot much more about, you know, kind of getting the ball in the guard's hands and figuring out what you got to do and a lot more energy basketball. And it just didn't seem like they wanted him to do that for whatever reason. And Indianapolis, I don't know if there was one player that really stuck out to him that didn't want to play that way. But it seemed like he was doing well there, and then all of a sudden they kind of cut him off at the knees.
Yeah.
And it was never the same. But you saw what he came in here in Atlanta. I don't think Lloyd Pierce was that bad of a coach, but you see what Nate McMillan has been able to do, and it makes Lloyd Pierce look like he should not be involved in basketball at all.
Yeah.
But I know that's the thing. I think he's just done an amazing job taking these guys because, and I mean, we could say early in the season, people did have higher hopes for Atlanta, and they just underachieved so much early in the season that they got written off. But, I mean, Trae Young is definitely playing with that chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's with Trae Young, it's that interesting point where you're like, is this a thing where Steph Curry was a few years ago, where like,
honestly,
or, you know, 8 years ago or whatever, when everyone's like, well, he's good, but this is not going to last.
Right.
And then now we're years later and going, well, yeah, that guy's in the MVP conversation every year.
Yeah.
Is it that, or is he just hot at the right time and next season we may see some fallback, or in the, you know, he may choke later? I don't know. I think it's interesting to watch with him right now. If you go back and draw that parallel to a young Steph Curry who could just destroy you from anywhere and how much he progressed over the next few years, if Trey gets better at some other parts of his game, then yeah, that'll be – then he has some real potential to be a very big threat for a very long time.
Well, and that's why I think that the Hawks are actually going to win this series against the Bucks, is because they have this just – this no-quit mentality, and the Bucks are such a fragile team. Like, if you can get in their head, if you can affect them. I mean, that's basically what they did to the 76ers. That's what they did to the Knicks. And unfortunately, it might be a Hawks finals.
Oof. Yeah. Oof. You know what, though? I am a fan of Lou Williams. Anyone who has chicken wings named after him at a strip club, I'm on board with you, Lou. I'm on board with the Lou Will lemon pepper barbecue wings at Magic City in Atlanta.
All right, well, so the other game that was on there was the Clips with the Nuggets, and we don't have to really get into it, but I just have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is the window for the Denver Nuggets, is it closed now, or do you still think that there's an opportunity for them to with this team that they have?
Yeah, Jamal Murray's hurt. Jamal Murray was hurt. You still have the MVP in Jokic. You still have Jamal Murray.
No.
You're thinking of Utah.
Every single time.
Yeah, I know. They're both very
every
white cities. They're both
time.
Very white cities. With Utah.
But Utah, that's what I meant. With Donovan Mitchell and
I think
and
Quinn Snyder's out. And I think Quinn Snyder, and I like Quinn Snyder a lot as a coach, but I think you're going to have to make a change here of something where I think you're going to try and add one more player, keep Quinn Snyder another year because you had the best record in the NBA. But I think you have one more year of trying to get one more guy in there. That's not just a Jordan Clarkson or a Joe Ingles or a Bogdanovich or somebody like that. You need to get another star player in there that can take the weight off of Mitchell because Rudy Gobert is not another scorer. And so you basically saw Bogdanovich would go off, but Ingles would be quiet and Clarkson would be quiet. And then Clarkson would go off, but then Ingles and Bogdanovich would be quiet. And they didn't have a guy who could consistently go. So they're rotating three guys.
Yeah.
But the problem is that usually means you have two guys on the court that aren't scoring.
Yeah.
And that was really the problem is they had just had somebody – they already had two guys that were shooting poorly at a time. But, yeah, I think the window for the Jazz are – I think it's got one more year. They had the best record in the NBA. I think they're still open a little bit. Let's go ahead and look at some other news that happened coming up in the head coaching. There has been so many coaches fired.
Yeah, so we won't go through all of them. I just want to say of the eight teams, so there's eight teams that currently have head coach vacancies. Which out of those eight is the best position? Like, if you were going to be a head coach in the NBA, which of these teams would you want to be on? You've got the Celtics, the Mavs, the Magic, the Pacers.
I'm going to tell you the team that I would be most interested in coaching would be New Orleans.
Wow.
It's New Orleans because I think your expectations are a little bit lower to start with. Okay. So you're not having to win right away.
Okay.
You don't have to win right away. You've got a ton of young talent you can build around. You've got an exciting team that you're going to be able to win regular season games pretty quickly. And then it's going to be, okay, let's see how we can build around that. There's a lot of pieces. I think there's a lot you can trade and make happen with that franchise. I think it's a good city and a good fan base. I think everything about it looks good if you want to go for a coaching job. You can say Dallas is up there.
I thought you would have picked Dallas.
This is the reason I won't. Because of all the reports coming out and that entire franchise just jumped out and Luka's basically saying the same thing that all the guys who just quit said.
Yeah.
That makes me a little nervous.
Sure.
And the fact that Mark Cuban tweeted out after The Athletic put out that article, he just tweeted out BS, and then everyone quit in the next week. And he was like, oh, maybe there's some S. Maybe there's some S.
So what about Becky Hammon? Out of all these teams, where do you think she would be best fitted for them?
I mean, right now, the only team that I'm hearing that is Portland.
Portland. Yeah.
If you get Dame, then you have to love that. So if you get Portland and you get to keep Dame, you got to love that as a possibility for her. Orlando is just such a, they're in a rebuild mode, so you've got to go out and get a guy who's going to be a player development guy and maybe a more general manager minded guy for that job. The Pacers, it's Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, that team just seems to never want to do the right thing. We just said Nate McMillan, we're seeing what he can do now. Why was that guy not being able to do that there?
Right.
And he did for like a season and a half, two seasons. And then he just got kneecapped, and everything seemed to fall apart.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're going to do out there when they just go, hey, we got this guy. Have fun with it.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about Boston?
I would never want to play about because of the fans.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just such the expectations.
There's a lot of expectations.
And that's the thing is when you go to a place where they're like, you either win the championship or you're a scrub.
Yeah.
And then we hear the thing, they get rid of Kemba Walker.
What do you think about that trade?
That I think... The more you see how much Brad Stevens hated Kemba Walker, I think they gave up too much to get rid of him because I think you could have gotten him for Al Horford without giving the first round pick. I think they got hosed in that one.
Yeah.
Because Kemba Walker historically is a better player.
Well, but the thing is a lot of it was injury. And so I think they.
No, I get that Al Horford's been injured. Like, I get that. I'm saying you could trade those guys straight up and it's just, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
To give a first rounder up
is
Brad Stevens saying, I don't like you, Kemba Walker.
He'll do anything to get rid of
him. And that's what I think. It's they didn't get along for whatever reason. Yeah. And so that's what kind of. I don't like it, but that's why I don't think. I think with Boston, with Brad Stevens still being there, it's just going to be a weird position for whoever gets it. I think you've got to kind of get a young guy in there.
I was going to say, you have to get a young, because you can't get a old veteran-type coach that is then having his boss be Brad Stevens. You know what I mean? That's kind of hard to work.
We're going to take a break. Before we do, why don't we get some quick predictions before we get too far into the conference finals? Anthony, what are your two picks of who we will see in the NBA Finals?
I got the Suns and I got the Hawks.
I have the Suns and Bucks just because I'm refusing to take on the Hawks. Refusing, but I do have the Suns taking that one, especially with Kawhi not really going to be in there. I think if the Suns, get up two games, then Kawhi's going to be like, I got to really shut down. You guys got to shut down. You guys, if the Clippers come back and go up three and they're up like 3-2, oh, guys, I'm ready. Yeah. I feel better. By the way, maybe you can tell I'm a Spurs fan.
Yeah,
can you
just
tell?
A little bit.
We got to take a break. When we come back, what jewelry is best to get for a man who cheats? We'll let you know in just a minute here on 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. Back at InSincerious here on the Horn. First of all, quick note of InSincerious news. Are you ready for InSincerious news, Anthony?
I am.
Quick note, Usain Bolt had a son, named him Thunder.
That's perfect.
Good old Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt, that is. That's
Thunderbolt.
Fabulous.
He has a daughter. That middle name is Lightning already.
All right.
So he's going for it.
Staying
and then
on
he
brand.
Has another kid that was a twin of Thunderbolt that just has a regular name.
It's just like Fred.
Yeah. It's Tommy. Hey, I'm Tommy Bolt. Come on down to Tommy Bolt Toyota. Yeah. Let's get some in serious news, though. A woman had a weird request for a jeweler.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted a special custom-made necklace with a heart on it that she was going to give to her boyfriend at I believe his birthday in front of all his family and friends. And unfortunately, she knew that he had been cheating on her with up to three different girls. With at least three different girls. So what she did was on the front of it, put his name and like I love our their anniversary date.
Yeah.
And then on the back, she put the name of the three girls that he had cheated with. So when this guy opens it, he's going to read it. And then flip it over and go.
Read it out loud to everybody.
Oh, no, we got problems. Anthony, what is the most petty gift you would get somebody for revenge?
The most petty gift?
Or the most petty thing you would do for revenge?
Yeah, I would get my girlfriend's Zoom account and have all the people join the Zoom meeting. All the people she cheated on me with, and have a little nice little Zoom party.
A nice little Zoom party?
Yeah, and play a few games together, you know, just hang out. Or I'd sleep with her mom.
See, I feel like I would just get a girl, and I would just get a really hot guy with some bad STD. And just be like, well, you know, all you had to do was be faithful. All you had to do was be faithful.
Wait, what would you do?
And now she's got something.
You would set her up?
Yeah. Well, okay. I would just tell that guy, pay that guy to go hit on her.
Okay.
Yeah.
That kind of sounds illegal, but all right. Well,
you know, it does sound illegal. I'm not dating anybody, Anthony, so no one's cheating on me. I don't have to take these nefarious plots to action.
All right.
Next story. Nevada firefighters had to rescue a teen who was caught, was stuck in the fireplace. Apparently, she had locked herself out of the house.
And she was trying to
get back. She was trying to get back in and just thought, you know what? There's a hole in the top of the house. I bet that works. And just went down in it and then realized you can't get in that way. There's a flute. You can't get in. Anthony, have you ever tried sneaking out of the house like that?
No, never.
I mean, not in the fireplace.
Actually, I did. For whatever reason, under my bed growing up, there was a fire ladder.
Yeah.
And it was like this chain ladder. And I would try to use that. But that thing was so loud. And it was, and I'm terrified of heights anyway. So it was a big problem all around.
I wanted one of those so bad when I was a kid.
Did you?
I thought that would work.
And no.
There's no way it would have ever worked.
No.
But I thought that was like, if I could just get a ladder that I could just reel up and leave down,
no.
Oh, it'd be perfect.
No.
My parents let me stay out too. They didn't care.
No, no, yeah.
In the U.S. Olympics, they announced they are handing out condoms, which they normally do.
Yeah.
However, this year, the athletes are being told to stay away from each other,
mm-hmm.
Wear a mask, and stay away. So this is going to be the worst Olympics ever for Olympic Village, because normally it is apparently crazy. But do you have any new events that we could put into the Olympics for
social distancing?
For social distancing events?
You know, like maybe like Marco Polo? That's a social distancing.
Marco Polo. What'd the loser get? COVID. And finally, a man set a world record by jumping 100 times in several hours out of a skydiving naked in Nebraska. He apparently hit up Guinness, and they were like, if you can do it 25 times, he's like, 25, take 100.
Yeah.
Let me get the wind rushing up my butt.
Oh,
it's going to be
God.
A good time. Anthony, what is the dumbest thing you could set a world record for?
I have no talents whatsoever. Maybe saying the most us in a radio show. What about you? What could you do?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We got to get out of here. Remember to follow us on all our social medias. We put up all the questions of the week. We're going to start putting those up for you to answer and talk back to us at Into Serious on all the social medias. So follow us there. We'll be back next week with more great content, more great fun here at Into Serious on the Horror 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Until then, keep your underwear clean. We'll see you then. Peace.